Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the book of Zephaniah as we continue in our Through the Bible series, Cover to Cover. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 11 through 12.
In that day you will feel no shame because of all your deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proud, exulting ones, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. But I will leave among you a humble and lowly people, and they will take refuge in the name of the Lord.
What approach do you think is the most effective way to motivate people? Pressure? Persuasion? Enticement? Now, think for a moment about the commitment and radical devotion often expressed in love songs. In these songs, we hear declarations summed up as, "I'd do anything for you. You have all of me." Or, "I'd give up everything for you." This observation is interesting because people in love don't take much convincing to be motivated, to initiate and commit. They're intrinsically motivated by their love. Love seems to be more compelling than any amount of pressure or persuasion. The message of Zephaniah provides us with a picture of love's motivation in relation to God. Let's dive in and explore it. Zephaniah is an Israelite prophet called by God to speak to Israel's southern kingdom, Judah. At this point, God has forgiven Israel time and time again and sent prophet after prophet to call the Israelites back to himself. But the people refused to turn to him. Through Zephaniah, God seeks to bring Israel back on track. He confronts them in their sin, such as their pride, their injustice, their lack of faithfulness to him. And he describes the impending judgment that will come if they do not repent. The judgment is depicted as world-ending, the undoing of creation. In Zephaniah 1, 2, God says, "I will completely remove all things from the face of the earth. I will cut off man from the face of the earth." God again warns of his impending wrath in Zephaniah 3, 8, saying, "Indeed, my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation, all my burning anger, for all the earth will be devoured by the fire of my zeal." But then, after a lengthy discourse on judgment and wrath, the tone of the book changes. God describes a day when things will be different. Instead of prideful and rebellious, God's people will be humble and obedient. Instead of burdened by guilt, they will live free and without shame. No longer complacent towards God, they will be zealous in their worship. Once exiled without a home, they will then be unified as a new family. Once cowering under God's wrath, God's people will then bask in God's adoration. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, Zephaniah 3:17 declares. What will cause this transformation? What will bring Israel into a restored relationship with God and a resulting life characterized by peace and joy? Zephaniah 3:15 holds the answer. It says that God will take away his judgment. And we now know he did so by sending his son to endure on the cross the judgment depicted in this book. So in Zephaniah, how do we see God motivating faithfulness? He declares freedom from judgment and shame. He offers a life of transformation and belonging. He lavishly proclaims his delight in his people. He sings over them. God wants his people to comprehend the infinite goodness of his love for them, and so in response, love him and devote themselves to him in return. Do you ever find yourself fluctuating with the ups and downs of your performance? Do you wrestle with shame when you struggle or fail? Do you compare yourself to others and think you're less than when you feel you don't measure up? In Zephaniah, God spoke a new identity over his people while they were still in their rebellion. And likewise, the gospel changes us by declaring what is true of us before we even begin to change. One theologian describes the process of spiritual growth this way. You can't crowbar your way into change. You can only be melted. Reflection on the wonder of the gospel, that we are justified simply by looking away from self to the finished work of Christ on our behalf, softens our hearts. The gospel is what changes us. And only it can, because the gospel itself is telling us what is true of us before we ever begin to change. And no matter how slowly our change occurs, the Bible teaches that healthy spiritual growth takes place only when commands land on those who know they are accepted and safe, irrespective of the degree to which they successfully keep those commands. If you are in Christ, you are freed from having an identity tied to your performance. God unconditionally accepts and delights in you because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And it is coming back to this foundation of love that will motivate real growth. So what does the gospel declare? That God rejoices over you with gladness. God quiets you with his love. God exalts over you with loud singing. Take a moment to rest in that. God to help you stand on and go out from the foundation of his unconditional love. As you listen to the worship song, praise God for taking away the judgment we deserved and drawing us to him in love.
I cling to you.